I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show presented by KFC. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me as always, faithful co-host, Joshua Hart.
Back again, back-to-back, Maybach, stacking M's.
Are you worried that the Raptors have lost three straight now, man?
I mean, worried is an overstatement. Is it the worst thing that's happened to me so far in the month of March? Absolutely.
Wow. Wow. I've already spoiled this month. It's going to be a tough month, man. And we kind of warn people. I guess... altogether, you know, if we take a step back, I think really we were talking about this earlier. The only disappointing result of the three of them is probably Charlotte, because you
that
know
was like
you should
kind
just
of
be Charlotte at
inexcusable.
Home.
Yeah, I know that they were down for a big portion of the game. Shouldn't have ever happened. Mm. You know, you don't want to win on Kyle Lowry going 9-0 personally, but still, bad end of the game. Yeah, like Mark Davis. Also, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson posting a biz.
Yeah, that was not great, man.
I tweeted that...
it was a Leroy Jenkins moment right
he
there.
He clearly doesn't have his wallet back because he doesn't have his ID because he doesn't know who he's supposed to be up there. Jeez. It was crazy. Why are you posting a biz?
That was strange. I know the Raptors were struggling for offense, but... the Milwaukee Bucks game, kind of expected result, to be honest. You know, you are going to, even with a full complement of players, Raptors are going to be underdogs in that matchup.
Yep.
And so when you were down Mark and you were without Norm in that game, that was always going to be a difficult one. And then going on the road in Denver, when you have no centers to go up against Nikola Jokic, we saw that did not go
hard.
Well.
Yeah, he's really, really good.
Yeah. And unlike other superstars, you can't just send extra bodies at him and pressure him and stuff because he's like a really, really good passer. Some of the passes he threw last night were just amazing. I don't want to be like Jokic Hive on Twitter or whatever, but I mean, it was beautiful stuff. And it made me really miss Marc Gasol, who remains out. Fred VanVleet and Serge Ibaka apparently are day to day, but they missed two games here now.
Yeah. They probably are not rushing back for a Suns game tomorrow.
Mm.
It is too bad. Yeah, it seems weird. The three games, I think beyond the feelings about these games particularly, they're headlined by Pascal Siakam struggles.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Twitter made it clear that they'd had enough of...
That was the first time all season where people have sort of said, you know what, Pascal, what's going on?
Yeah. We've sort of talked about it. Like, this is like... This is the kind of game where even if you lose, if you score 16 points in this quarter, we'll all be satisfied. Like, yes, that's a lot to do, but it shouldn't happen. It should happen a couple times a year where he goes like crazy and scores 14 points in the fourth quarter to will the team to victory. But it hasn't happened yet. It's still weird to see Kyle Lowry still be a big dude in the fourth quarters for this team. But Pascal, what's going on?
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because, I thought he was really good against Phoenix. First came back from All-Star break. He looked really rejuvenated. One of his best games of the season on both ends of the floor. Indiana, he was very good. Of course, he didn't have to play very much because they won by 46. But in the three losses, you're looking at 6 of 14 from the field in the Milwaukee game.
Yikes.
Which is not that bad in the sense that he does hit five threes, but, only 1 2-point field goal.
Yeah.
Very strange for a guy who primarily drives to the rim.
Well, we know that Milwaukee packs the paint, but still.
Yeah. You would have liked to see him, get to there a little bit more.
Yeah.
The Charlotte Hornets game, I mean, everybody was struggling. I don't want to put it on him, but, you know, there's 4 missed free throws in there.
Yep.
He goes 1 of 5 from the 3-point line. And then, you know, the Denver game, that was just, you know, an outright bad game, I thought. Yeah. I mean, at least with the Charlotte game, I thought. There was a stretch there in the third quarter where he was driving to the rim and forcing things and making things happen, getting to the free throw line. That was good. In the Denver game, it just never felt like he got a rhythm in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he finishes the night 16 points, 6 of 21 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. He has 5 assists, but he has 4 turnovers.
Yep.
So, you know, that's not a great ratio there. And, you know, after the game, Pascal himself said, quote, "As a leader of the team, you got to play better. You can't have games like that. Feels like there have been too many of those." So, for me, I had two takeaways. One, he says as a leader of the team.
Yep.
So he's not saying he's the leader of the team. I don't think he sees himself as that. I think it's mostly him, Kyle, maybe even, you know, Fred and Mark and Serge. You know what I mean? Like, sort
he
of
hasn't
a,
decided that it is his team and that he is the single point of accountability when it comes to a bad loss where you needed someone who could make buckets down the stretch.
Yeah. And then he said the other takeaway is feels like there have been too many of those, which really does kind of go to show that he has self-awareness. And this is one of those things where I think Pascal is really he's really good about taking ownership when the games don't go necessarily in his way.
Sure.
Which I really do appreciate. I think it shows sort of a humility on his part and an awareness on his part, because there have been other games this year where it hasn't really been their form. But, you know, that being said, yeah, it was a tough game for him, man.
Yeah.
But I watched the replay. Like,
did you see anything that you didn't yesterday night?
The threes were actually all pretty good looks. I didn't think he settled for any of the threes. Mm. He took seven threes, but when the defense packs the paint, you got to shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
Shooting one for sevens, unfortunately, had a step back three like in the first quarter and then was bricks from there on out.
But it seems like the book's out on him then. If he's still unable to hit these open threes that he's getting, like that's a problem.
It is a problem and it isn't. I mean, some nights he's just not going to shoot well. I thought, to be honest,
he shot great against Milwaukee.
He did. He had five threes against Milwaukee. But in this one, when I watched back, you know, the shots that he took, the 21 shots,
yep.
A lot of the attempts were one-on-one in the post against a guy like Jeremy Grant. And, you know, this is where I felt like last year when Pascal went up against Grant, when Pascal went up against players like Grant, he would have the advantage in terms of just, like, going up and finishing, and that touch was much better. Yesterday, there was a lot of makeable shots for him, but he would either sort of fade away.
Or put it up short.
And when he challenged the guy, like, the strength to sort of move the player and actually get to the finish that you want without being disrupted just wasn't quite there for him.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like he's just a little bit out of rhythm in a game like this.
Yeah, it seems as though like something his legs are a little shot or he's tired. I don't know. Doesn't really make too much sense to me. But it makes me want to take our first call from Nabil and Whitby, who wants to talk about this team struggling against the best competition. Nabil, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Before I start, a moment of silence, pour one out for all the OG haters.
Yeah, there we go. Pour one out. I actually have a beverage.
I'm not trying,
to
pour this on the floor in the studio.
Laptop's too expensive. You're right. Yeah, he was great yesterday, man.
Watching him snap, like, it just... I'm just so sick and tired of people trashing OG. And legitimately, most of the criticism about him is just... It's just like criticizing him for what he isn't rather than appreciating what he actually does well. And, you know, that game last night was just, despite the actual overall result, was nice. But hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys enjoyed your weekends. I'm calling in to discuss something that's definitely going to be a topic of discussion, especially come around playoff time, and that is our record against 500 teams, against above 500 teams. I'm just wondering if you guys have given much thought into it, if you considered or delve deeper into like what our stats are, how healthy we've been in those games.
Yeah, that's a good question. The Raptors are, as of right now, 10-14 against teams above 500. If you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, Milwaukee is 14-7, Boston is 13-11, Miami is 13-10, Philadelphia is 12-17, Indiana is 10-13. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Really, my only concern with that is just how many games have the Raptors been fully healthy and played against these 500 teams? Because you're probably not going to beat a lot of teams that are very good without your full complement of players. And so I'm not saying that as an excuse. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know if it's as bad as this looks either. And also, 10-14 is not that bad, to be honest. Last year, by the way, the Raptors above 500 teams, obviously the Raptors won a championship, 22-20. So it wasn't like they were an exceptional team at beating above 500 teams.
No, and I think it's twofold. On one end, like the talent and makeup of our roster is such that our margin for error is just really small when we're not healthy.
Yep.
So and just like the brand and style of basketball we play, it's just, you know, we need every single one of our personnel to be out there. And on top of that, just to, you know, elaborate on that more, it's like when you don't have, like last night, for example, right? You don't have Mark, you don't have Serge, you don't have Fred, right? So Fred definitely would have been chasing Jamal Murray around last night.
Yep.
And then obviously you have a big body like Mark who you could sort of put on, you know, Jokic in single coverage.
Yep.
Now you don't have two key pieces like that. It completely abandons the style of defense you want to play, and it completely abandons your matchup. So now you have to make do with the personnel you have, right? Yeah. You know, like take Brook Lopez off of Milwaukee. All of a sudden, they can't play that draw pick and roll coverage. Giannis is going to have to cover the five, and you know,
spacing's going to be off.
As solid of a backup as he is, you know, he
can't shoot.
So it sucks, man, and it sucks that it's going to be a topic of conversation when it comes to playoff time. You know, people are definitely going to poke holes in us and bring that up a lot. But yeah, I don't think it's a fair criticism. I don't think it's indicative. If you look at our net rating and stuff, it's just we literally, it's not even an excuse. Like, it's legitimate. We just have not been healthy. And it's not been like, oh, Pat McCaw missed like 10 games or whatever.
We've had
key rotation pieces, key starters, key players.
Not available to play stretches. Yeah, when I think about the Raptors' record against winning teams, the thing I think most about is they've been missing offensive pieces in significant ways. Marcus Gasol is so good at keeping guys like OG and Norm afloat.
Mm-hmm.
Norm has stayed efficient besides that and despite that, but OG's really suffered. OG's not a good ball handler. OG's been asked to handle the ball more than he should at this stage in his development. And until Fred's solidly in the lineup, as well as Mark is, they're going to struggle. And their defense still looks great. I think it's been impressive to see them, without guys like Marcus, Gasol, still keep the team concept and deliver pretty consistently. Mm. But yeah, I think on offense, it's just been, they've had some real ugly evenings of watching Kyle Lowry feel like it goes like 1-on-5.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Anywho, Nabil, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, and have a safe commute home. All right. Peace.
Yeah. I miss Mark, man. I miss him a lot. I hope he's fully healthy. Maybe it's a lot to ask at his age, but it does seem to be the Raptors are cautious with his injury, so that's good. I mean, as long as they have him healthy, because Marc Gasol has the best defensive rating on the team. Like, when he's on the floor, the Raptors allow 100.3 points per 100 possessions.
That's crazy.
So very, very good number. And then offensively, when Marc Gasol is on the floor, he has the third highest offensive rating for any of the rotation players. He's at 111.2. He's just slightly below Pascal and slightly below Terrence Davis, who, wow, 113.5 off the bench is really impressive. But basically, Marc Gasol is one of the players that is, you know, I mean, it goes without saying, he's pivotal to the team, and he's missed extended time. I think the Raptors, you know, it's sort of understated because he's not a guy who comes in and gives you 20 pretty much ever.
No.
But he just makes your team that much better. And yeah.
Though,
I miss him.
Is it fair to mention that, I don't know, this Marc Gasol season makes me very uninterested in bringing him back next year?
The injury? I mean, yeah. I hear you.
I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss Big Spain.
Yeah. And I don't know how you replace him, too. That's the thing. Guys like Gasol are very unique. I mean, first off, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer. But another stat, which I saw on Reddit earlier today, the Raptors are 27-8 with Marc Gasol in the lineup, and they're 14-10 without him in the lineup.
That is not good.
Big difference.
That's a big Spain difference.
Yeah, there you go. All right, I don't know why you said that. Let's go line two.
We have Steven from Etobicoke. Steven, welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is Steven McInnes, Will, from Martin Grove.
What's up, man? MCI, let's go.
Yeah, no more 111 bus talks anymore. I miss those Raptors talks, I mean. I miss those days.
Yeah, I moved downtown, man.
That's pretty wholesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff, man. I was just going to get your guys' take on last night's game. Obviously, I listened to your post-game, Will. I always try to listen to it. But kind of what I saw, other than the obvious of Jokic being a big man, is they ended up doubling him in the post consistently versus earlier in the year with Kawhi and you know, some of the other stars that they were able to successfully double team and make sure that there wasn't any issues there. With Jokic, they weren't able to sorry, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here.
Yeah, just like trap him. The same kind of aggressive
style. Yeah, exactly.
Style,
so
I
guess what I'm trying to get at here is OG. Why didn't they have OG on Jokic? Because he has a little bit more bulk to him than Rondé.
I mean, you know, OG had a couple possessions on Jokic. The way I saw it yesterday was their primary defender, they're going to try to use Rondé to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did was they made their bigger wings play against the Nuggets guards. So you saw a lot of those possessions. OG was a guy guarding Jamal Murray, for example, or even Gary Harris or something like that. And mm-hmm. so when that screen and roll action came with Jokic, they were able to switch it. And sort of, you know, just limit Jokic's opportunities to roll down to the rim with, you know, with a free lane and stuff like that. I mean, you know, is OG really a guy who's going to guard the post is much better than Rondé? I'm not totally sure.
No, he's not.
No,
I
don't think so.
Rondé is really strong. But, it's just none of those guys. I mean, even OG, if you had OG single cover Jokic the whole game, I don't think it actually ends up being a situation where OG can handle it by himself. No. As much as I thought OG had a phenomenal game and the best game of his career, I think it's just a lot to ask for there.
Okay.
What do you think?
Right.
I kind of think the OG best game of his career is a little empty calories. You mentioned it earlier. Many of those steals were just Denver being super duper lazy.
They had some bad passes. And, but seven steals?
No, it's good. Like, it doesn't happen without hard work, but yeah. I've left games feeling more satisfied by OG's performances than I did yesterday.
All right. Tough to please.
I'm sorry, OG.
Tough crowd, man. Wow.
I'm not, shout out to Kate and to Emma on Twitter because they'll always bring you your flowers.
Yeah. No, they're flaming you for this one. Yeah, I mean, you know, and it's also a little difficult to double the post as much as you would with a perimeter guy because you can kind of force the perimeter guy just out of the paint. It's sort of, you know, just the angle of the floor is a little bit different. When you're in the post, everybody's kind of one pass away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we kind of saw yesterday, in the sense that just like if a guy flashes to the rim, it's like for a 7-footer, pretty easy to pass over a guy who's 6'7". Even if OG put his arms up, you know, if you know, just Jokic just standing reaches a lot better, and he can find the guy flashing baseline.
Yep.
The kickouts to the 3-point line are much easier as well. So, just the geometry is a little different. But hey, man, Jokic is a star, man. Jokic is just really
he's
damn
gonna
good.
Be like top 6 MVP vote getter. Like it's he's the real deal.
100%. Yeah, I mean, they had no answer for him, as you eloquently put last night, Will.
Yeah.
I guess my only other question, if I could, before I go, is there anyone we can maybe get in the buyout market that's just a big body? I don't know if there's anyone out there that just for, I guess, in the playoffs, it's not going to really help us, but in the interim, to just fill the time until Gasol comes back, is there anybody that can just at least be a big guy in there?
I mean, I wouldn't mind like a Joakim Noah on a 10-day contract.
Oh, that'd be so great.
But the thing is, you would have to cut one person on the roster. You might have to let go of Malcolm Miller.
Or fan favorite Stanley Johnson.
No.
Really? I guess it would be Malcolm over what? Like, what about Stanley? No more Stanley suggestions.
He's I mean, first off, we can't cut him for Stanley suggestions. And second of all, he's on a 2-year deal, both years guaranteed.
Oh, right.
We have 2 years of Stanley suggestions.
Yeah, listen, we better keep experiencing things in Toronto. That's why they say Ontario is yours to discover.
No, it's open for business,
Stevens,
dog.
To discover. Or
you didn't see the new Stanley license plates. You don't keep up with the news outside of NBA, do you?
I don't, man. I really don't.
All right, Steven. Thanks for your call. Did we answer that question?
Yeah, after all these radio shows over the years that I've listened to, this is my first time calling in, so I was a little nervous. So
I appreciate you.
Thanks for bearing with me, guys.
All right. Peace.
Okay. Take care. Bye.
We answered the second question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Sometimes I get confused.
I said Joakim Noah. Yeah.
Yeah. Joakim Noah would be cool.
I like Joakim, man. He seems like a guy with no chill.
Yeah. Remember when he finish with MVP votes in 2000?
Yeah. The year where he kept making high low passes to Nate Robinson, and somehow that team was like a 48 win.
And
team.
Then immediately off the cliff. It was.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Not with a big injury.
He had
just tired.
He had one of the top four ugliest free throw forms I've ever seen. he kind of spins the ball at the basket.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. The 10-day period, it would have been good to have it against the Denver Nuggets. So if they're not doing it, then whatever.
Yeah. We have Gabriel on line one from Toronto. Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How's it going? How's everyone doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Well, Louisa, Ben, how are you guys doing in the studio? Good. Wow. Steph, you too. How are you guys doing? Good? Wow. Everyone in the studio is doing great. So the five of us are doing well.
Hey, glad to hear. I'm glad it stopped raining down here.
Yeah, that was weird, bad weather.
It was a misty day.
Yeah. But anyways, though, so I had a question. It was just regarding Patrick McCaha.
Oh, man, everyone's favorite topic.
I know. Over all those extended minutes he's playing. So I don't know if you heard, but did you look at Blake Murphy's tweet yesterday where he was basically discussing on how Nick Nurse said that he had Patrick McCaha as like one of his top eight rotation players?
I did.
Now, I mean, I thought that was a very bit amusing. Because here's this thing. If he was playing like 8-10 minutes a game, that's one thing. But for him to be playing like 20 minutes or over that, that's a bit too much. Mm. I don't know if he got like some Dirk of Nick, like he has some like dirty secret of Nick Nurse, but he'd be playing him way too much. And the surprising thing for me is that I don't understand why Nick Nurse doesn't play Matt Thomas anymore as much at all. Because, I mean, like, Matt Thomas is a great player. He's like a great three-point shooter.
He's not a very great player.
No, excuse me. He's amazing.
That's what happens when we put the propaganda out there. It comes back on a step.
I'm on the Matt Thomas high.
Okay.
All going full steam. But he's great, though. I mean,
yeah.
He's amazing at shooting the three. And he's a very smart offensive player. Because one thing I like about him is that he doesn't take bad shots. He only takes, like, an open three shot. Like, he only takes shots.
You know how Stanley Johnson's not allowed to dribble? Neither is Matt Thomas.
Yeah. And he's actually not a bad help defender. So, I mean, I wish he got more
horrible
touches, though. Yeah, exactly. I just wish he got more touches, you know, just because I get it. I don't know. Listen, I still don't understand why Patrick McCaw gets a lot of minutes. Like, I don't, like, I feel like he's kind of, sometimes when he's on the court, they're, like, playing 4 and 5. It's just hard to watch, man.
Both ways.
Not to be rude, but he's kind of a scrub.
Yeah, well, you know.
He's had many bad stretches, but he's shown flashes.
You know, we talk about Pat McCaw all the time. It's sort of, I don't have a good answer for it. I think Nick has given his answer. I think there's more trust in him because I think the Raptors see a need for a third point guard.
Yeah, and that's the problem. The problem is that we play our two, are what would in many teams be your starting point guard and your backup point guard a lot. So if we have a third point guard, they're going to see lots of minutes in Nick Nurse's team concept.
Yeah,
the fact that they haven't found somebody more competent that they feel better with after DeLon Wright's departure is a problem. They need to solve it because
Pat McCaw really is like a terrible DeLon Wright.
Yeah.
Like DeLon Wright on a bad night.
He's DeLong wrong.
Yeah, basically. I mean, you're not wrong. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and even he was saying that's probably it. It's just because they really want to find the third string point guard. But I don't know if that's from McCaw's answer, but it's obvious.
They're giving him a lot of rope, that's all. Like, they're just letting him really take every opportunity to do something. And there are games where Pat, does something, but, I mean, I could honestly name all of them, right now. Like, there's, three of them.
Yeah, but until, Terrence Davis learns how to run the offense, which is not, Terrence Davis comes in with one thing on his mind.
Shoot.
To shoot, finish, and then dunk. In the post game. Sound like Moneybagg Yo, because that's all he does.
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. It's confusing to me, too, man. Matt Thomas, honestly, he is a great shooter. He does need to get his attempts up more. Like, it's fun to say he's the NBA league leader in three-point percentage, which is true. He's at 51.5%. The man has taken, 60-something threes all season.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, man.
No, it's not great.
That's how many threes Kyle Lowry would take in a week.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So.
That's true.
That's all.
Well, anyway, though, thank you for your time. I greatly appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too, man.
Thanks for listening.
Yep, have a good day.
All right, peace.
All right, it's time for everyone's favorite caller, everyone's favorite weekly segment.
Everyone's favorite weekly segment is Stanley Suggestions. This is catching up sooner than probably.
I'm just, when I read the comments, people are hype.
People are hype.
Put that time code in right now, all right? Vitaly from Moscow is calling in.
All right, Vitaly online, too. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Josh. Put some respect on my name. You're the B-side. Stanley Suggestions is it's a close second, baby. You already know. Listen, it's funny. It's almost 2:30 here, but Monday night.
Uh-huh.
But it actually, here in Moscow, it worked out perfectly for me because tomorrow, Super Tuesday, I'm actually working overtime tonight for to prepare for the election tomorrow. So,
oh, whoa.
I'll be up late.
All right.
I got lots to do.
Yeah, of course.
That's all we'll say about that.
Okay.
I respect it.
Who are you voting for? What?
He's got an election to help facilitate.
That's not how it works in Russia, my friend. Come on, Lorian.
Yeah, you're right.
You stay woke. There's not many people listening. You know?
Yeah, fair enough. All right, so what's on your mind, Vitaly? What did you think yesterday?
Man, you know what? It's I saw before the game the line was Nuggets were favored by 3.
Yeah.
And
easy
I
money.
Saw that Gasol was out, Ibaka was out, and Van Vliet, 100% easy money, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true.
I don't know what Vegas is doing there.
I was like, double digits easy. Come on. Yeah. Who's going to guard Jokic? Ronde? It's,
yeah.
It was a tough one. I have a big fraud of the week.
Okay.
Perfect. I want to talk Siakam in a sec, but I have a big fraud of the week.
I was afraid you were going to say Siakam.
No.
Come on.
I'm not like these frauds in the comments after one game, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's
talking
right.
Talking about Siakam, we shouldn't have given him that contract.
Come on, man.
My big fraud of the week is none other than Mayor Pete. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. It's Rob Pelinka.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just a brief one, man. Some of his recent moves, first of all, picking up the worst Morris win.
Yeah,
was your big move, and then today I read they're auditioning between Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith.
Yeah,
couple great locker room guys.
Wait, how are they getting Dion Waiters back on LeBron's team? Remember when LeBron played with Dion last time?
It was a horrible experience for everybody.
Incredible content.
Yeah, who would you guys pick? Who do you think
of those two guys?
Oh man,
yeah.
Why are they even
adoption? Like, it's like Dion Waiters or Jerry Smith. It's like asking Trump or Hillary, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know who I'd prefer.
Well, you know, weed is legal in California, so.
So is Hennessy. J.R. Smith and LeBron get along really well.
Yeah.
And, like, LeBron, I don't think LeBron has a ton of friends on that team.
You think they get along after 2018?
I think he's had, like, J.R. Smith was, I'm going to sit down for 2 years, and I'm going to come back.
LeBron's like, yo, I'm putting you on timeout.
Yeah. Earl. He's only going to call him Earl now.
Yeah,
he's not
enough.
J.R. Dion Waiters is done. I don't
think. Is he? Actually, I mean, J.R. is like 38.
But I think J.R. might be able to shoot.
J.R. played in China in 2011. How do you come back from that?
Have you ever consumed Hennessy? It's the only way.
Once, actually. It was
the only way you come
hard
back.
Drink.
These guys are both very talented. It's the sad thing. And lucky Jerry Smith, he's like top 10 all-time three-pointers made. He had a good career.
Oh, wow.
But if you give them, like, you know, half of Kyle Lowry's brain, these guys would be Hall of Famers.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's true. You give most... I think you give most prospects half of Kyle Lowry's brain, and he's, like, really good at basketball.
Yeah.
He's an intelligent guy. No
it's
doubt,
it's just too bad he's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, if Kyle Lowry was 6 foot four, it would have been out of control.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had a 9-inch cost, you know.
Go ahead.
No, I wanted to hear. Come on.
I was just thinking of, like, the Lakers. I think they don't need to change their roster. You know their rotation. I don't know why they need to bring in an extra guard.
Mm.
It's just, like, go to the playoffs.
No, they need an extra guard. I would pick Dion only in the sense that he's younger. And honestly, playoff Dion with OKC, I know this is like 2016, was not that bad. He had some good moments.
That was a long time ago.
I know. But we're talking about J.R. Smith.
I just think the Lakers are going to be big and bully people all playoffs long. Like, I think
they worried about Danny Green, maybe. I know he was injured recently. And, you know, he was pretty inconsistent in the playoffs last year.
I think Danny Green's going to be in Toronto at the end of this month, recharge his batteries.
Yeah,
and then he'll be off to the races.
Man, that man loved Toronto.
He loved Toronto.
And we love Danny,
right? Yeah. Him and his snake.
His
real snake, all right? That's not an analogy.
Man, I don't care how many millions you have. I'm not coming near you with it's like Donovanism. What are you doing, man? Those things kill you.
Yeah,
anyways,
seriously.
Quick take on Siakam, man. Mm-hmm. I think, first of all, people forgetting against Indiana, which was less than a week ago, he had a really nice game.
Yep.
Efficient. Missed a few threes, but he was like 8 of 12, plus 20 in the game.
Yeah.
I think what we're forgetting is just last night, scoring wasn't great, but that's not my takeaway. My takeaway is we gave up, 132 points?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You're on the road. Denver's an explosive team. I think you have, if Marc Gasol was back, if he was anchoring that team, there's no way because that's our issue right now, it's defense.
Yeah.
100%. So I think Marc, when he gets back, He gets everybody in the right places. Mm-hmm. The defense is solid. And the big thing he gives, when you're Pascal and you play next to Ronde, the spacing is, they play off him. It's like, it's 4-on-5, so I don't blame him. And even like, how do you trust Ronde? How do you pass it to him? This guy has, he has sword hands. He cannot finish. It's, he always makes the right play, the right dribble, and then he just, he hits like the wrong parts of the window. You know what I mean? It's I know it's not going in.
It was amazing. I'm never going to forget seeing him post a Bismarck. Like, these are the four worst hands in franchise history.
Oh, my God.
Like, together. It's unbelievable. I don't even know if we need Marc Gasol back to fix the defense. I think Serge Ibaka had turned the corner. I think
Mark's come on,
Mark makes it elite. Mm. But I think the Raptors team concept defense is delivering. Like, even
Fair enough.
Like, they look competent when they had Serge and not Mark.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only reason is, like, I don't think Mark needs to come back to fix everything.
Yeah.
When he comes back on his own time, it'll be great. We can't have Chris Boucher there anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say Boucher.
Boucher and Ronde, it's very, very bad. Like, if you get Serge back, I think you can, and his injury doesn't sound as severe, we should be okay. Because if we're waiting for Mark to come back and be consistent, we're in, like, I don't know.
I'm praying he comes back, man.
It's funny with Boucher. There was a time, you know, in my teen years, I was really into, like, powerlifting. I was eating a lot.
Okay.
So I've taken morning shifts that way more than Chris Boucher.
I can believe it. That guy is a slight man.
Like, he got
7 feet tall.
He got dominated.
He's like 148. Yeah,
it doesn't make sense. Yeah. It does not make sense. He got dominated by Mason Plumlee. That's
a Plumlee.
That's unthinkable, man. A Plumlee.
Yeah, get that boy. Give him the DeAndre Ayton, John Collins diet. You know, give him.
Actually,
listen, our test's over for the
25 games will be worth it.
But our test's over. It's like they end before the playoffs.
I'm just saying.
With drug testing in the NBA, they say it's not a steroid test. It's like an IQ test. Because if you're not an idiot,
you get away with
it. LeBron's been playing, 17 years? No problem.
Yeah.
That's
all natural, baby.
All natural.
He takes naps. Come on.
Yeah, $1 million on his body.
Yeah, it's naps. $1 million beds, chefs, supplements, of course,
man.
We all know.
You know?
Come on.
Yo, Will, you have the workshop. Shout out, guys, quick plug. Will's got the workshop coming up, man. Started from the bottom.
Wow,
come
I appreciate
on.
You, man.
It is pretty cool.
One time.
Thank you.
No. Lecturing people, you know? It's crazy. Man, you're doing big things. We're proud of you, eh?
I appreciate you, man.
All right, Vitaly.
All right, man. Have a good day tomorrow.
Have a great week.
Cheers. Bye.
Peace.
What a guy.
Yeah.
Man
of the people.
And people have the audacity to say he's not real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even if he isn't.
Nah, he's real, man.
He's real.
Nah, he's real.
He's real. He's a real one.
Definitely a real one, but also he's real, man.
He's real.
Yeah.
Calling from 2:30 in Moscow. Hacking elections.
What?
All right. we have Don in Toronto to talk about Pascal's shot. Don, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Shout out to Vitaly one time. I love that guy.
Yeah, the best.
So I just want to preface my question quick that I wanted to ask this like 3 or 4 weeks ago, but I got on the line and it dropped off. So it's not just based on the Nuggets game. But my question is, of Pascal's package of shots that he goes to regularly, which one do you think he can reliably use in the crunch time in the playoffs to get him a basket? And if there isn't one right now that is reliable enough, which one do you think he's most likely to develop in time for the playoffs so that it is reliable?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like that.
What happened to the corner three? I know that
he just doesn't get a lot of looks there. He operates at the top of the floor.
Yeah.
It was like Kawhi is going to operate. You got a space, so you're open in the corner.
And maybe when they have Fred and Kyle back, he can get that look every once in a while.
Honestly. I mean, obviously, first off, his most preferred move would be to post up and then spin.
Yeah, that's
right.
That's
we know that. Everyone in the world knows that. If beyond that shot, I would say the one I want to see him get best at is probably the pull up three. It's a difficult shot, to be sure. He is a difficult shot, but at the same time, he's actually really developed in that front, and it's really just what we're seeing is a work in progress at the moment. Last season, in terms of pull-up threes, he made 1 for 8 on the year, not just like one game, 1 of 8 on the year. This year he's 41 of 120, which is not a great percentage necessarily. 34%, it's pretty much average for pull-up three-point shooting. But still, we're talking about a guy who went from 8 attempts to 120, and we're like, you know, two-thirds through the season right now. So I think I want to see him master that shot. What about you, Josh?
That's a good answer. I've always wondered why Pascal doesn't have a reliable elbow jumper. It seems like when he gets to the elbow, he wants to turn around and start backing somebody down before he spins.
Yeah.
If he was able to take somebody face up and pull up from the elbow, I think it would just be, it would add some dynamics to his game, because he could then head fake there and then get past his guy. And I don't know, there seems to be nothing in Pascal's game that makes me think he can get his guy leaning and get a shot off around him or under him and draw the foul.
It's a little predictable at the moment.
Yeah, it's just,
well, that's what we saw in the Denver game. Like, the defender was always in his way, even when like Jamal Murray was on him and stuff. Even Jamal was able to make it difficult for him, because Jamal really took away the middle, and he just kind of refused to spin baseline to his left.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You think Jamal Murray really wanted to impress Nick Nurse? Because I had to justify it to myself that way. He's like, well, RJ can't start over me,
bro. RJ is not starting over. Well, actually, I don't know. His dad is the GM.
It's SGA.
I mean, it's Jamal Murray and SGA. First off, hell of a backcourt.
A hell of a backcourt.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's...
But, yeah, we're getting away from the topic. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Well, Pascal, that's the weird thing about Pascal, is that he's not necessarily a natural scorer in that way where, you know, he's, like, super high skill. Yeah. He obviously is very skilled, don't get me wrong, but it's not like a guy like Kawhi who can just come off the screen and just pull up with regularity. Mm. But even with a guy like Kawhi, he had to develop that, too. And, you know, what we're seeing in, like, year 7, year 8 is very different from what we're seeing from Pascal, or what we're seeing from Kawhi in year 4, that area.
So. Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I think Kawhi's go-to shot was, like, to get the screen, get the big man, and then pull up.
Definitely.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out, what, like, Pascal's is going to be. And if this is the development year and he figures it out, you know, that's fine. I think, like, I'm not freaking out about it. But it seems like the spin move in the post is probably not going to work in the playoffs, just because he's going to get doubled. It seems like he also is like less reliable for some reason this year at it in terms of like actually the finishing. I don't know why that is.
Fatigue.
Like you guys were talking about at the beginning of the show.
Just seems to be fatigue.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard move to like pull off.
Yeah.
Like you've tried that in your like gym, like to be coordinated and then sort of have the second burst to like steady yourself.
Mm.
It's exhausting. I know these guys are pro athletes, and comparing what I do in a YMCA to them is like unfair, but it's a hard thing to do reliably.
Sure, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens. It sounds like the pull up three, or maybe like they could stash him in the corner on the occasional play. Like they used to stash Kawhi in the dunker spot, even in the playoffs occasionally, randomly. And he would get like not stash him there, but he would like go to the dunker spot at the last second and get like a good look off there. Maybe Pascal could do that too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate the question. The answer, guys.
Cool. Peace.
You guys are awesome. See ya.
I actually looked this up. So, you know, if we're comparing 2019 to 2020 for Pascal, last season, when he had a very, very tight defense, like the defender was less than 2 feet away from him, he shot 55%. This year it's 48.8%. Between 2 to 4 feet, the closest defender, last year he was at 59.3%. This year he's at 49.9%. So that's almost a 10-point percentage drop. 4 to 6 feet, so with reasonable space, Pascal was efficient, like incredible. 67.9%. This year, 49.3%. Huge drop there, 18 percentage points. And 6+ feet wide open, he was 77.1%. This year he's 61.5%. And this is just 2-point shots.
That last one is just Pascal's no longer the guy who gets run on fast breaks.
Yeah, exactly. But what I'm just saying, like, overall, it just seems like the general thing is just, I think the touch is not there. And also, like, I mean, realistically, he's getting tougher defenders.
Yeah, he's adopted a less efficient part of the offense.
Yeah,
it's just inherited. Like, Kawhi had a very inefficient, like, set of shots. Like,
so good that he was able to make that all efficient.
These are, most of the worst shots anyone on the team has to take.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy them. And Kawhi's, like, made the most of it. Pascal is making the most of it, and it's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's why these guys are superstars, is that like LeBron James posting up every like wing, like what he did to Drew Holiday, is like hard to do.
Yeah, it is.
And being efficient at it isn't fun.
Mm-hmm.
So when these guys do it well,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, yeah, it's because they're fucking good.
He's amazing, man. All right, let's take a, before we take any more calls, let's take actually a KC hotline. Hotline. Yeah, so we have the first one from Amro, who wants to talk about Norman Powell getting traded right now. I don't know. It's weird.
Hey, this message is for the Raptors Over Everything live call-in show. I just wanted to know, do you think Norman Powell is a valuable trade asset since he's been playing, I mean, just out of his mind basketball as of late? Or should we just ride out the rest of his contract? Hit me up. Thanks.
It's March, bro.
Strange timing. I don't know, man. Right now, the way the team is constructed, I don't want to move him. He's pretty good value at his contract. I think he's made tangible improvements. I talked about it on yesterday's show. I thought I was super impressed with Norm yesterday, just with the fact that he only shot 1 of 6 from three, but still had 24 points efficiently.
Yep.
He's so much better going to the basket now, and it's like varied. His finishes are better. He's more calm with it. The footwork is better for the finishes. The way he has a game plan instead of just like rushing to the basket. So yeah, and when you look at the age of the team, if you're looking at the core being Pascal, OG, Fred, you know, I guess TD as well. Yeah, I mean, you know, Terrence Davis, as I mentioned. Yeah, you know, Norm fits right in.
You're not getting better value for Norm at that dollar.
Well, I mean, you might, but I just don't see what you're getting. You know what I mean?
You're not going to sign somebody off the street for $11 million.
To be Norm. Fair enough.
They're going to...
Well, yeah. Masai, honestly, those guys are so good. The front office is so good. They might, but I think I have no issue. I think we should just keep him.
Yeah, he's under contract the 2021-2022 season, which is, you know, big year for the franchise.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd want to trade him. I guess, yeah. Yes,
he's very tradable now.
He's a very attractive tradable. Asset.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, like, you don't want to trade your, like.
Yeah, are we getting Bradley Beal? If we're not getting Bradley Beal, I think we could just keep going.
If you have an attractive asset, you hold on to it. It's why you hope to have attractive assets.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we have on line one, Jesse from North Bay. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Big fan of the show.
Hey, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
And also, thanks for switching to Monday evening. I mean, Friday at noon just didn't work for me there. I was always at work. They were never able to call in.
All right. There you go. We're going to pass a message along to our boss.
Okay. my question was, now assuming everybody's healthy, which we know that's probably a 1 in a million chance of it happening before playoffs, but who do you think plays come playoff time and who do you think doesn't, assuming everybody's healthy?
Well, I think the starting five is pretty set. Mark's going to start. Pascal's going to be at 4, OG at 3, Fred at 2, Kyle at 1.
Then Norm and Serge, definitely.
Norm and Serge are definite big pieces of the rotation. I'm thinking they play 25 minutes or more in the playoffs.
That's what I figured, too. Yeah.
And then it's really that eighth man that's going to change, and I don't think they're going to dip below 8 because I don't think you can consistently trust any of the rest of those guys. Personally, I would pick Terrence Davis to be that eighth guy, but obviously we see it with Nick. He loves McCaw. And that eighth guy probably gets like 15 minutes.
I also feel like I can see a place where RHJ plays if they run into Philly again and they need size, but in like a Boston in a Boston,
I guess it depends on who they're playing as well. Because same thing, I was thinking like you got to sit McCaw and put Davis in instead. But like you said, you know how Nurse loves his McCaw, but
yeah, and also Rondé could get a bit of consideration there just because he's so good. Are inversatile defensively, but also there's a lot of downside with playing Rondé a lot too.
Definitely, yeah.
Everybody's healthy. In a Celtics series, I don't think Rondé sees any more minutes, and he doesn't see many minutes. I think it's a guy like Terrence Davis who does play.
Yeah, and I'm looking at. I just looked it up now that you asked. The last year's playoff rotation, which you know resulted in a championship. Good times. Raptors had 8 players in the rotation. First, obviously, was Kawhi, 39 minutes. Kyle Lowry, 38 minutes. Pascal, 37. Mark, 30.6. Danny Green, 28.5. Seems like a lot for Danny. 24.7 for Fred. 20.8 for Serge. 15.9 for Norm. And then it just dropped off. Everyone else was garbage time. I mean, like, Jody Meeks got a little bit more burn than everyone else. Didn't quite understand the Jody Meeks minutes, but it was pretty clear. Nick had an 8-man rotation, and he's probably going to have an 8-man rotation this year, too.
Yeah,
that's what I figured. I was wondering if maybe they'd go to 9, but you're probably right. Yeah. You know this better than I do.
I think first round he might go to 9. Like if they're playing like
Orlando, like
Brooklyn or Orlando in the first round, then I think you can keep it with 9. You kind of not necessarily that you want to manage minutes or anything like that, because obviously it's the playoffs, you got to win the game. But I do think that if you're looking at a more long-term perspective, you probably, you know, just give it, keep it at nine. The relatively speaking, the Raptors should be good in the first round. So, but yeah,
especially if they get up 2-0 or something like that, then
then Matt Thomas starting.
Well,
Kyle Lowry,
it's disrespectful, but
Alex would lose his mind.
Actually, though, yeah.
All right, Jesse, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks, guys. I also have just a quick question for Vitaly next time he calls.
Yeah.
Ask him if his Adidas tracksuit is red or blue.
Oh, my God. Excellent. All
right. Okay, all have right. a good one, guys.
Peace.
Damn.
The people's champ.
I think Vitaly's wearing one of those, like, fisherman caps.
No.
I'm just imagining him as a background actor in a Dua Lipa video.
Jeez.
Before we take another call, let's take a YouTube question.
We have
Lee-Ban.
Was Nick Nurse far more experimental last year? Was he also better at managing minutes? Siakam, Lowry can't play 40 minutes a game. It's gonna hurt us in the long term. Was he more experimental? There were a lot more players who passed through this team last year.
I mean, he had like 20-something players last year.
Yeah, so...
I mean, was he more experimental? I don't know, man. I think defensively, the Raptors are more versatile this year than they are last year.
Triangle and 2-5?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he pulled it out in the finals. But, I mean, he didn't play box and one at all in the regular season.
No.
But in terms of managing minutes, just to go on that point... So Kawhi played 34 minutes per game last year. That was tops in the team. He was tied with Kyle, who was also at 34. Pascal was at 31.9. Everyone else was 30 minutes or below. This year, Kyle has gone up to 36.5, so an additional 2.5 minutes. For Van Vliet, obviously he's just become a better player, but still 35.8 minutes. And Pascal up to 35.2, and everyone else is 30 or below. I think, honestly, it's just there's been more significant injuries this year than last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, Kawhi was in and out, but we saw the team had depth. Like, there were still, even without Kawhi, 8 fully reliable players that you can go to. And this year, yeah, I mean, it's just there's just been significant injuries all the time. And they've had to compete and work a little harder.
Yeah.
That's all.
I think Nick Nurse is doing a good job.
I think he's, like, early in the season, yeah, the minutes were a little high, for sure. When you saw the, like, Kyle... was like first in the league in minutes, and then
like again
Fred was second, and
how?
Then Pascal was fifth, and you're like, okay, all right, just clearly a systemic problem. But then, you know, they've cut it down a little bit.
They found those bench guys on that West Coast road trip.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, they figured it out. Yeah. From Deepak, it's a trend whenever we beat a good team. By 45, we go on a 3-game losing streak, and then we play really good. We did this when we blew out Utah. Yeah, there was somebody who commented after the slander pod. You and
people don't like the slander pod because they think that if I slander a team, then somehow the Raptors go on to lose games. Make sense in your mind?
It's not
man?
Somehow they do. They just do. It's correlative, but people are superstitious.
All right, fair enough.
You can be superstitious.
Am I?
No, like
just
you,
I'm
people,
Asian?
People can be.
Oh, okay. No, we Asians are mad superstitious, man. All right, let's take another call.
We have Elam from Ottawa. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, hello, guys. Just before I start, I think you definitely pronounced my name a little off.
Can you back. Help me out?
All right, what is it?
Ilham.
Okay.
Ilham.
Pleasure to have you call in. Have you done your homework for the evening?
All right.
Not even close.
All right. Well, I'm glad that you're spending your time wisely.
Well, okay. I'm going to start. I just have this one question I've been thinking about for a while. Because after we've lost to Denver, Boston's coming up a little closer, and I feel like it's going to be a little bit neck and neck at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So I was going to ask, how important do you guys think the second seed is, and should we make like a big push for everyone to try to get to the second seed, or should we start resting up players for the playoffs, you know, like people who are a little bit more injury prone, like Mark seems to be this year? Like, should we start resting players, or should we make that final push for the second seed?
I think it's pretty important. Obviously, if people are hurt, whatever, you're not going to like force them to play above their capabilities. But at the same time, Second seed is just super important, man. Because if you look at it right now, if Philadelphia was like substantially going to be the fifth seed, and I knew that Indiana was going to be sixth, then I'm not as worried about it. Because even though Indiana is a better team than you know, Brooklyn or you know Orlando or some other garbage team, like I'm fine with it. Right, I'm fine with facing Indiana first round. Philly is just difficult. You just don't want to go through that. Like, Embiid is a really good defender, and if everyone gets healthy, that talent on that team is still very difficult to look at. Yeah, so I want to get the second seed. Also, you know what? Any case to finish above Boston, I'm down for it.
Yeah, I don't want to play Boston, like, in a Game 5 swing game in Boston.
Yeah.
It's just not a good idea.
Yeah. I think TD Garden is actually one of those places that, really does have a sway. And what's unfortunate is that
I think Scotiabank Arena is one of those places.
It is.
Unless you're Paul Pierce, because he doesn't care.
Okay. I don't want to hear that name ever again. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, Boston does have a slightly easier schedule on the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And
we face like the Lakers, the Bucks, I think like two more times.
Yeah.
And like we have hard teams on the way.
Yeah.
So I think it is going to be quite close.
It is going to be quite close. The only saving grace is that the Raptors play at home against Boston, which is their fourth meeting of the year. Boston has won two of the three.
Of the year.
Yeah, the Raptors need to win that game. That's a big game.
Around Christmas, and then they played one early? Oh, yeah, I remember that game.
Second game of the year. Pascal had five threes, but they lost.
That's one of the major questions that I was asking. And then when it comes to, like, last night, I just wanted to say, like, why does everyone want Pascal to develop as quickly as he has when, like, he's on his first years being the number one guy? Do you think Raptor fans have any legitimacy of, like, trashing him? Because if you look at the comments on Instagram, they're all going pretty crazy at him.
Yeah, I mean,
the Raptors
looking at comments on Instagram is just not a good idea.
Yeah, it's not a good idea.
I don't even have IG.
Mm-hmm. What about Will Lufitz?
Oh, yeah.
That's definitely me.
I think the Raptors are a really good club. So having their best player saying about their best player, like, oh, it's okay, they're developing, like, it doesn't really, it's no big deal. It's kind of like a BS excuse, because Kyle Lowry's playing like he doesn't have years to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Serge Ibaka, when he's out there, isn't playing like he has years to develop, and same for Mark, et cetera, et cetera. So having Pascal, it's not fair to say holding the team back, but not pushing the team forward, you can call him out for it.
Well, you know, okay, I would say he's pushing the team forward. I mean, that's a little too far. But, well, you know what, I think it's a couple of things. I think, one, people are definitely just a little bit spoiled.
Yeah.
Like, we just won the championship. We're coming off a stretch where the Raptors have gone to the playoffs six straight times, the best years in franchise history. People at this point are expecting success. They've tasted the real thing. They know what the real thing is. I think it's also, in a sense, there's an urgency because there's expiring contracts on the roster. I guess Kyle's things resolved, but you know, Fred's expiring. It's not a certainty that he comes back, although I do think it's very likely. Serge, like, you, this, it's not saying this is the last chance,
this
but at
team
the same
can
time,
win. That's that is the thing.
And also, it's really just about who is, like, the you know, basketball is really reductive. It's really about who's the best guy on the team and how good is that guy. And that's where I feel like the Raptors 2 through 8 are extremely good.
Yeah. You know? With a blue-chip number one player, this is a team that runs it back.
Yeah.
So. But I don't think it's unfair to put that on Pascal. That right now, if looking at this team 2 through 8, you can win the championship.
Yeah.
Like, Milwaukee.
They literally just won.
Yeah. And to say, like, you know, if it wasn't for Pascal being, you know, a little bit better, he's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, really, really good.
Mm.
If he was a little bit better, we would feel pretty confident that we could go and win the whole thing. And that's such a rare thing. Like, you know, the DeMar and Kyle years were great, but we weren't as good as this team is now. At the peak of Kyle and DeMar's tenure as, like, leading this team, we weren't as good. This year, we are very good. Second best defense, that's real stuff.
Yeah.
If Pascal is a little bit better.
Yeah.
Right?
He's getting very much better, considering that this is, like, the first year of him being the number one guy.
Yeah.
It's a lot to bear.
Yeah. It is. No, it's, and that's the thing. It's just, it's unfair, man. It really is.
It's just, it's a tough situation for him because I'm sure he knows it. He sees, like, yeah, he knows it.
He knows it. He's very self-aware with, based on his comments.
Very self-aware. At least we have one bright spot from that game, and that's OG for sure.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. He looked great. I mean, yeah, I said it earlier. I don't know how much.
Come on, man.
It was great. Is that the best game you've ever watched him play?
Yes, 100%.
No, not to me.
Yeah.
Name one game OG played better than that.
Game. I don't know. He looked great in the Boston game last year. The first game, like the first Boston match. He's looked better. I've left games from like OG's learning. He looked great in that Minnesota game. October 2018.
Bro, that was against Minnesota.
I know, but there are games that, like, yes, he scored a lot of points. A lot of those points were off of a slot, like, him being higher in the pecking order than he normally is, outside of his role.
Wow.
And
hater.
I'm not hating.
Hater.
I really like OG. It just wasn't the game, and, like, it's not the game that I'm going to remember
OG
him for.
OG put the whole squad on scars. How could you hate him?
Yeah.
You can't. And
come on, man. I'm disappointed.
Okay. All right.
Disappointed.
All right.
Oh, wait, one quick question.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to offensively for OG, when his usage obviously goes down because he's like the fourth, fifth option, what techniques do you think he should take forward into like making those winning plays? Like what do you think he could do more on offense within his role, obviously, because it's crazy to expect him to be like getting this stat line every night.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
He's not going to be prime Scottie Pippen. He's got to maybe post up a little bit more.
That was the only thing.
Yeah.
He's big. He's strong.
I like to post up.
Yeah. Just post guys up.
Yeah.
They can't handle you.
And when Mark's there, too, that's going to help OG a lot. You've already mentioned that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the playmaking there is going to be good. And even it's just, like, simple things like feeding him in the post. Like, for OG, if he can do a split cut, you know, get deeper post position, seal his man, get a smaller guy on him, and Mark can make that pass, and Mark can stretch the floor so there's no center helping out in the lane, OG probably going
to
finish that.
Also, a thing I want OG to do, this is my mama challenge for OG.
Okay.
Summer.
All right, wrestling. Okay.
Develop a better dunk package, because you're like, he's bounce.
Wow.
And it's like, OG's not the most flashy guy. He's never going to be known for a flashy guy.
But wouldn't it be great if, like, every once in every six, like, open lane dunks he has, he just pull out, like, a windmill, and you're like, whoa! I just want him to do it every once in a while.
That would be cool.
It'd just be, like, random.
He does have a lot of good two-handed jams, but they're, you know.
It's like his signature move is, like, the reverse.
Reverse yeah. two-handed dunk, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to see him just do something crazy, because he has the bounce.
Oh, yeah, he has, there's some.
He's got hot.
Yeah, like, Norm would do it when Norm was a little bit younger. He would just, like, pull out a crazy tomahawk dunk when he was on the break. I'm like, nice.
Yeah.
You know, just
fair enough.
Something for the...
there's the challenge.
Yeah, there's a challenge.
Dunk cooler.
Dunk cooler, OG.
All right.
Well, if his main concern is the dunk cooler, I think OG's doing pretty good then.
No, he's had a great year.
Yeah,
I'm really happy because last year was brutal for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Really
for him.
Really, like, horrible year, and I'm glad to see him, like, you know...
You saying brutal like that just reminds me of my computer science teacher. It just reminds me of the coding that I have to write. So that's, I should probably go.
All right. Go to your homework.
Okay, bye, guys. Right. Have a nice weekend or day.
Thank you.
Whatever. Bye.
Peace.
All right.
Stanley suggestions. We got to get them. Or we have one more last call.
No, we got to get, let's get the last KFC hotline out of the way.
Yes, okay. We
get
the
last call and then Stanley suggestion.
The name of someone, and I'll look it up. We have Mike.
Who is Matt Thomas Hive?
Matt Thomas Hive.
Hey, Will. Just wanted to see what your thoughts are on Matt Thomas. Why you don't think he plays as much as probably the Toronto fans want him to? Is it just his bad D? Thanks a lot.
Everybody wants to know why Matt Thomas doesn't play enough. Like, what is it? What is it about Matt Thomas that makes some of you Raptors fans want to see him play so much?
Well, I mean, I think you know. But what is it about? I mean, look... I think he could do a better job finding more chances to shoot.
Yep.
Because obviously he's on, you know, defensively. It's not even he's not bad. It's just like, you know, the rest of the team is much better.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he just needs to find more opportunities to get a shot off. But he's cool. I really enjoy when he comes in the game. It's fun.
It's fun.
I like everyone looking for him and stuff. I've been calling him. I'm trying to get this nickname for him off the ground. Clay Thompson with a C. It's pretty good, man. Clay Thompson with a C. No?
No. Ben, no?
Come on.
No, no? You're not into
Klay
it?
Klay Thompson with a
two,
C.
Two thumbs down.
All right. Looks better in print. just saying.
All right. all right.
All right. Syed's been very patient.
Syed online too. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. So I just had a question about the team and how many injuries we have had so far this year. So I mean, Serge, Fred, and Mark were obviously out yesterday. And I'm just wondering, even when they come back, don't you think that there's a pretty high likelihood that another one of our players gets injured? Because it just seems like some teams that get hit with injuries early on just don't find a way to get rid of them.
Mm.
Is there a chance that they'll get injured afterwards? Yeah, of course. I mean, people get hurt every day.
I think it's really just, and we're going to let you go because there's some weird noises coming out. Maybe it's just our end, but I think
it's not.
It's, well, okay, all right. You think you're just beeping? but no, I think, yeah, I mean, it's natural. Like when you have some injuries, other people are going to have to compensate. And it's sort of the same thing where they talk about how, you know, when there's some part of your body that's hurt and you're playing through it, the rest of your body's trying to compensate. And if you think of the team as a body and as a concept, like, yeah, other players are going to have to come up and step up and play more than they need to. I don't know what you're searching, man. I don't know what you're searching.
The team as a metaphor for a single body?
Yeah. Team is a body, you know? If the team is a body, what are all the parts? Kyle Lowry's the booty. Mark's the head. Serge is... No, all right, never mind.
What Serge?
No. That's all right. Stanley's suggestion time? Stanley's suggestion time? It's our signature segment where we give Stanley Johnson some suggestions to go, you know, things, activities to do around the city. Josh, yours is mean, so I'm going to go first. You know, as I always give Stanley very earnest ones that I genuinely actually would recommend to somebody. You know, look, listen, winter in Toronto is almost over. March is pretty much the end of it. April is going to, you know, warm up. You can wear some, like, light coats and stuff. When it's cold like this and you've been cold for, like, 4 months straight, all you want to do on weekends is stay inside and watch Netflix. Or, in this case, watch CBC Gem. That's right. You can watch Working Moms on CBC Gem. It's on its fourth season right now. Yeah, look, I picked it up recently. I actually really enjoy it. Not a lot of shows are... Not a lot of shows. Maybe it's just a reflection of how I consume things. But I haven't, me personally, I haven't consumed a lot of shows that have been written and sort of centered around the female perspective in terms of just motherhood and all the challenges that come with it. I think it's very cool. I think it's very interesting. It's funny. It's zany. It's Canadian. It's got a lot of B-roll of like
really Toronto.
Really, really Toronto. They show King West all the time. That's not really a positive, to be honest. But, you know, they show other parts that are cool.
Shout out to my friend Lex who worked on it.
Oh, yeah, cool.
We all know somebody who worked on Working Moms.
Sure, yeah. All right, anyway, that's my Stanley suggestion. Okay, Working Moms.
Mine is, I mean, now that we'll mention this. But yeah. I was thinking of a way for Stanley to see more of the city of Toronto, not just King West, not just the condo that he lives in somewhere. And I think the best way for him to do that is to perhaps work with an organization that has offices and development all around the city. Oh, so. God. Stanley, this week I'm suggesting that you check out an information session with Weedman or one of the local lawn pros companies. They have information sessions throughout the city around this time of year, right before spring. You can learn how to irrigate lawns and to help lay down fresh sod. And it's a great way to see the rest of the city. You'll go knocking door to door and meet people from across Toronto, from Scarborough to Etobicoke, North York to, I don't know, the other ones.
Wow. You're basically telling this man to go work vector marketing.
Well, we don't need to talk about vector marketing. We'll start with you.
That's
a show.
That does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. As always, you can leave us a voicemail. If you're not able to call in during this window between 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., you can leave us a message at the Yahoo Sports Canada Instagram page. You can direct message, leave a message, and you know, just like actually speak into the phone. Don't just like leave a written message, because you know it's an audio medium, so you know, do that. But we appreciate all the callers as always. Josh,
thanks to KST for sponsoring the show. I want to encourage everyone to watch Run It Back, to check out Around the NBA, to listen to the Reaction podcast during this road trip, Look, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not watching the Suns game tomorrow night because it starts at 9. I go to bed at, you know, 10:15.
I will be watching it and recapping it.
Yeah, and I'm going to listen to it the next morning on my subway downtown. Anywho, That's the show. Have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Stay safe. Wash your hands.
Stay safe.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever Googled your own name? Prepare for a shock, because your personal info, including addresses and phone numbers, is out there, especially with the recent hacks at some big phone and healthcare companies. But here's where Aura steps in. Aura scans the dark web for your sensitive information and sends real-time alerts. Aura also actively requests that your information be removed from data broker sites, putting you back in control. Aura provides you with a complete online safety toolkit, credit and transaction monitoring, a secure password manager, a privacy-enhancing VPN, parental controls, and more. Try Aura risk-free with a 14-day trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety. Rest easy with Aura. Visit aura.com/safety today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.